84, and we are in the fifth to last line on the page. Time Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, Meir, Hayadayim t'chil l'chun, Yadayim hands. Now this is the origin, this Mishnah, if you look back at the beginning of the Mishnah, says, no lila yadayim. This is the origin of the halacha of washing one's hands before eating. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Meir, Hayadayim t'chil l'chun, the hands, their tumah is only derabbanan. Because from in the Torah, either you're all tameh or you're not tameh at all. Can't have just your hands be tameh and not the rest of your body. So the concept of the hands being tameh and not the rest of your body is a rabbinic concept altogether. So when they gave that rabbinic concept of tumah to your hands, they did it in gradations. Okay? So our mayor says, at time, t'chilos l'chulin, t'chil l'chulin. When they said that your hands are tameh until you wash them, in order to make chulin tameh, your hands have to be considered to be a rishon, first level tumah. Because chulin, regular stuff, which is not as no degree of sanctity, only goes to second degree tumah. It doesn't go any lower than that. So if your hands are only second degree tumah, they wouldn't make regular stuff tumah. And vishnios l'trumah. However, trumah is third degree tumah as well. So therefore, vis-a-vis trumah, they could say your hands are second degree tumah. So they actually gave your hands the minimal status necessary in order to require them to wash them. Require you to wash them. So therefore, vis-a-vis non-Kodesh, non-holy stuff, they gave a status of being first degree. Vis-a-vis stuff which is somewhat holy, they gave a status of second degree. Says Gemara, wait a minute. That means that Rav Shimon ben Elazar holds that there is a concept of hands which are first degree tumah. Ma, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Akiva, is Rav Shimon lost his opinion like that of Rabbi Akiva? That's the thing about what you learned over there. This is an interesting case. You stick your hands, let's say this base medrash had leprosy in the walls. So of course anybody who went to the base medrash should become, some people obviously hold that way about this base medrash, but let's say so anybody who entered this base medrash would then become Tommy, right?
Leprosy in the walls meaning?
A stain, a blotch on the wall, which was leprosy. It's some sort of fungus in the house. Yeah, it's a fungus which is renders the house defiled.
Okay,
we don't know exactly what it is. So in any event, so let's say that. So then, if you come into the room, you become tummy. If you stick your hands into the room, then the raisa, on the Torah level, nothing happens to you. Because that's be the majority of your body, your torso, and your head have to enter the room. But our Rabbi Akiva said, nevertheless, if you stick your hands into the house which has this leprosy in the walls, your hands become tchilo, they become first degree tami, even Rabbi Akiva. Chachamim say, no, yodav shnios, there's no such thing as first degree tumah on hands. Hands at best can be second degree tumah. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar must hold like Rabbi Akiva that hands can become first degree tumah. Says Mar, no, Karabonon, he. It could be the time on. It could be that there, Rav Shimon ben Elazar holds like Rabbanon. Could be holds that hands are normally second degree tumor. Ah, so what over here? So why over here do we say that he has to, that his hands vis-a-vis chulin, vis-a-vis regular stuff, our first degree tumor, is an incentive to get him to wash. Matam on top of you, Gimel Amidav, top of 25. Matam on Ocho, why over here did they say his hands are Tchilos, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, his hands are first degree? Vitol Shatomer lo Yodav Shnios, because, Vitol Shatomer lo Yodav Shnios, since you tell him his hands are second degree to Ma'afu Bazam, mean a Truma is going to separate itself from Truma. And, although this is not explicit, since we tell him that his hands are tchila vis-a-vis tchulin, so therefore he's going to separate himself and wash before he eats regular stuff as well. So therefore, it could be that normally Hashem Elazar holds that hands are second degree tummy. But in order to get you to wash before you eat, he had to say that hands are first degree tummy prior to eating even regular stuff in order to make sure that you wash your hands beforehand. Now, of course, the question is, why do we care if you wash your hands? What difference does it make to us? So the answer the Gemara is going to give us later on. We don't know right now. But We'll see in a few minutes. Says Mara, wait a minute, I got another question. One of the reasons, or if not the primary reason, why hands are tummy is because hands very often have beverages on them. And beverages transmit tuma very easily. If your hands are moist, it transmits tuma very easily. Because, for example, a fruit can only become tummy once it becomes moist. Right? If an area became moist, it can't become tummy. So therefore, if your hands are moist, so then it transmits tuma very easily. So therefore, and as part and parcel of that decree, to keep you away when your hands are moist, when anything's moist from you, so there we made a decree that the mashkin, the moisture on your hands, is always considered to be a rishon, first degree tummy. So now the question is, let's consider all hands, not themselves first degree tummy, but let's consider them first degree tummy because they might have mashkin tmeim on them. They might have tomei beverages on them. So it's not like this, but like this. Indirectly, let's say that every hand, since potentially they have impure liquids on them, let's consider them vis-a-vis halacha, as if they are tchilos, right? It says, Gemara, we can't do that. I'll tell you why. It would make hands too stringent. Kavachom, we have a logical construct which prevents us from doing that. Mindful yom, the third line down. Mindful yom, shu'dvar Torah. A person who had an omission. He had some sort of seminal omission, and now he went to the mikvah. But we know that in order to become tummy from having tahar, purified from having an omission, you also have to wait till nightfall. So between the time they went to the mikvah and nightfall, he's a tful yom, right? He's the status of quasi tor, quasi tummy. If at that time he touched something, so he truma, he renders the truma unfit, because he has the status of second degree tummy, but he doesn't have the status of first degree tummy. So that status of a torah tuma is second degree tummy, not first degree tummy. They couldn't take hands and make them any more severe than tful yom. There's a glass ceiling underneath tful yom, that if the deraisa problem of tful yom will not render you any more than a second degree, they couldn't take a rabbinic thing and make it first degree. Now, of course they could have, right? We know the rabbis could do anything they wanted to, but they didn't want to do that because that would make it be too strange, okay? So it says, "Kavchor mindful yom shu dvar Torah." For the some of you, just Mersel Mikvah has not yet had a nightfall upon him, which is a Torah level. Eidel Aposel, he's only a second level Tommy, which renders Truma unfit, but it's not the same thing as the first degree, which makes it Tommy. You are Daim Shein Divrayim, his hands which are the Rabbanan Lo Koshkin, they certainly should be no grip better than second degree to a Tommy. So it's Dabrachim. Another reason, which was another interpretation, is klum gazualia daim. Why they make the decree against hands? Look, they share both them in a truma. Why they should serve himself from his truma when he's potentially tamei? Mitoshat omer loshu yodav trishnios. So for that reason, even if you tell him his hands are second degree, afu bodom in a truma, he'll separate himself from the truma. So therefore, you never have to say that his hands are going to be tchilos. In other words, the reason why his hands should be first degree is in order to get him separate himself from truma. But anyway, he's going to separate himself from truma because he's second degree. And second degree is also problem to be truma. So therefore, they never felt the necessity to upgrade him to first degree tomei. Okay? Tomatini, we learned over there.
Is it upgrade or downgrade?
A downgrade. Tomatini, we learned over there. Hatruma of Ibikurim means more severe. Hatruma of Ibikurim. Truma, which is, of course, the tithe which is given to the Kohen and is quasi holy. Bikurim is the first fruits which is brought to the Beis HaMikdash and given to the Kohen, also quasi holy. Chayom Aleim, if you are a non Kohen and you consume it, Chayom Aleim Misa, God smites you down dead. Not the basin, but God. The Chomesh, you have to pay the if you did it unintentionally, you give the Kohen a restitution and an extra fifth tacked on top. It's kind of like a fine. And then, also besides that, it also requires the Surah Lazorim. Of course, the reason why you have these is because it's forbidden for a non-Kohen to eat. Vei Nichsei Kohen, they belong to Kohen. If a measure of truma or a bikurim falls into a mixture, you need 100 parts corresponding to that measure of truma to cancel out and make the mixture permissible. Utunim rechitzas yadayim, you have to wash your hands before you eat them. Five shemesh, and if you had an emission, you have to wait till night falls after going to mikvah in order to eat them. Harei elu b'nitrumi kum, these are all true by truma and bikurim. Masha ain't came a meiser, as opposed to meiser. For meiser, one does not have to do any of these things. Now, for the tithe given to a... for the tithe which is brought up to Yushalayim to eat in Yushalayim, so for that you don't have to do any of these things. So it sounds like from Haisu you don't even have to wash. Yet, Tamana Tomar, Eina Maisa Ton, Rechitza, there in the price we just quoted, it sounds like you don't, or in the Mishnah we just quoted, it sounds like you don't have to wash for eating Maisa, yet in our Mishnah it says, Dvacha Tomar, Maisa Ton, Rechitza, you say that ma'aser does require washing, so it's a difficult concept. So the Bavli actually answers, although the Yerushalmi does not give this answer. The Bavli says that depends if it's bread or fruit. Our Mishnah is talking about ma'aser sheni put into the form of bread. It's been baked already, and there they made the takona. They made the decree. Anytime you go to eat bread, you have to wash beforehand, right? There it's talking about when it's still in the form of fruit, the bikurim or the truma, or the ma'aser sheni. In our case, they didn't require the washing. However, the Yerushalmi gives a different answer. Sham says, "Hein d'amar." That Mishnah says, "Hamaiser turn rechitza, they have to wash for eat our maaser, the maaser sheni, eat that second tithe brought up in Yerushalayim to consume there." So that is rabbanan hein, rabbanan. That's going according to rabbanan. Hein that domar, that's what you say. Ain't a maaser turn rechitza, don't have to wash your hands beforehand. Rabbi Meir, that's very Meir. The tenth note over there. Katon bios mayim, midivrei sofrim. Anything which you have to go to the mikvah, midirabbanan, on a rabbinic level, for having come into contact with someone, makes you tell midirabbanan. Mitame es hakodesh, it renders kodesh, renders holy stuff unfit. Uposos a truma, and it renders truma not just unfit, but renders it tummy. It renders truma unfit, but it doesn't make it tummy in the sense that it goes and makes something else tummy. Umutzer b'chulin of a meiser meiser. And however, if it touches the selfsame rabbinic tuma, touches chulin, regular stuff, or meiser, the meiser sheni brought up to Yerushalayim, then it's not a problem. Divrei Meir, Konrei Meir. The Chachamim Omri, Chachamim Osrim B'Maiser. Chachamim say that that's not true by Meiser. Neither for Meiser, you cannot eat the Meiser as long as you're Tamei D'Rabbanan. Even though you're Tamei D'Rabbanan, you can't eat the Meiser. So says the Gemara, lo shmiya. One second.
So that's like our Mishnah.
Just
to bring down.
Right. That which is say you don't have to wash. The Mishnah over there in Bikurim, which says you don't have to wash, that's like Rameir. Our Mishnah is like Rabbanan, who say you do have to wash. Okay?
There's no difference in Mishnayim between the two.
Oh, sure. I mean, not the editor is the same, but he attributed different Mishnayis and different tractates of different authors. The editor is Rabbi Yehuda Nossi, but the authors are different authors. Am I making myself clear? Even the same Maseches, you're going to have different authors of Mishnayis. The only thing which is uniform is the editor.
As to both Talmudim.
Yes. All tractates the same. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi.
Is there a consistent pattern that you can see between the difference between Bavli and Yerushalmi?
Well, in the Mishnayos is not going to be a difference because that preceded the divisions of Bavli and Yerushalmi.
So they will be the same.
Almost. There are some differences. but basically not. Very few. There are some differences. And the differences we have don't necessarily come from that time. They could have crept into the text later on. Been corrupted over time. So there essentially there should be no difference because the Mishnah is all one unit. So it says Gemara. V'lo shmiya, I didn't hear the Amar Rabbi Shmuel b'shem Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Shmuel is their name, Rabbi Zira. Ma v'chachomim osim b'maiser. What is that? It says the chachomim forbid you to eat maiser. Nivso gufo lecho maiser. That your body has become unfit to eat maiser, but that you're not metaming the maiser when you touch it. So if that's the case, this is what we have to say. Hein d'amar ha-maiser ton rechitza, that which says you have to wash before you eat the maiser, berotza lochal, it's when you want to eat it. Vein d'amar in ha-maiser ton rechitza, which says you don't have to wash, is berotza liga, when you just want to touch it and not eat it. So this is a very interesting concept. By truma, regardless of whether you're going to eat it or touch it, you must wash your hands before you come into contact with it. By Meiser Sheni, the tithe brought Yerushalayim to Yerushalayim, you can touch it if you're not going to eat it. But if you're going to eat it, you have to wash before you touch it. Okay? It's an interesting distinction.
So once you touch it, you can't eat it. Unless you've made the prior decision you want to eat.
Well, that's the thing. By Meiser Sheni... No, let's not look at it that way. By Meiser Sheni, you can touch it and then not eat it. But if you want to eat it, you can't even touch it until you wash.
That's what I said.
That's what you said?
I said if you touch
it. Then you were
it,
correct.
You touch
if you
it.
Said like me, then you're correct.
Okay. But to clarify.
Yes. Spoken like a lawyer. Go ahead.
If, without yet forming a mental impression as to what you're going to do, you touch, you waive the opportunity to eat unless you wash beforehand.
Right. It's an interesting thing because, of course, when we put challah on the table nowadays, we don't wash before we put challah on the table. But if you play a cane to put truma on the table, you'd have to wash before you touch it. I mean, it's simple. If you think about it, it's compelling because truma, since it was baked with moist water, so therefore it's suitable to be makabel tumah, it's suitable to become tumah. You can't touch it with hands which are tumah. But we never think of that. We think you just have to wash before you eat, not before you touch. So by truma, you have to wash before you touch. By maaser, if you're going to eat it, then you must eat to wash even before you touch it. By chulin, which of course is everything we eat, then you only have to wash before you eat it. Okay?
What if you eat it by not touching with your hands? So you eat it with your mouth. Something.
Well, that's what we say, that nevertheless, there is a takana to wash. But we'll put in a plastic bag. You hold it in a plastic bag.
You don't touch it. Something separating your hands from
your. Or gloves.
Or like plastic gloves, like what they wear in Delhi.
Could be even leather gloves. All right. In any event, I hope that didn't get on tape. Says a little further.
Are they used for that purpose? Plastic?
People will do that, even though they're not supposed to.
But there's no truma anymore anyhow, is there?
Doesn't matter, but there's still blanket the decree to wash before you eat chulin.
I understand that, but
it's not at the same level.
The procedures for truma are no longer...
Right, they're no longer...
There's no longer any truma.
No, it's no longer applicable. True. What? Oh, bread. Right, only bread.
Not fruit.
Yeah, but sometimes we do wash. Some people do wash for fruit. It's a matter of custom nowadays. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch does bring down, the opinion to wash for fruit, but it's not everybody is rigorous about that.
Could that be because of the Sephardic origins of the portions of the Shulchan Aruch?
No, I don't think so. I think it's right here in the Ushambi. Yerushalmi said, gave a proposal before that the dichotomy, oh not here, I'm sorry, I mentioned before that the Bavli says the dichotomy between bread and fruit. The Yerushalmi doesn't mention that dichotomy, but the Bavli mentions dichotomy. The Bavli says by bread it's mandatory, by fruit it's voluntary.
If Shulchan Aruch says you must wash before eating food as well.
I think it brings on both things. I'm not sure, I don't remember. I might be making that up. Because I didn't look it up, obviously, I think the Shulchan
Aruch has more familiarity with Yerushalmi.
No, less.
So what he had came from here, presumably, before it was transmuted by, what's his name?
Yeah, but I don't remember who says what, so you can't catch me on that.
I'm trying to catch you.
No, but you might be right, but I can't say whether you're right or wrong. That's the problem. Okay, so I didn't mean catch in the sense.
I think it's an interesting point. Yeah.
No, but generally, I've saw that the scholars hold, although I don't think it's true, I think it's a lot of baloney. But the scholars say that Ashkenazi practice follows more the Yerushalmi, ancient Ashkenazi practice, before things became mixed, cross-pollination. But ancient Ashkenazi practice before the infiltration of the Shulchan Aruch was more like the Yerushalmi, and ancient Sephardi practice is more like the Bavli. So, for what it's worth, that's what they say. Okay, I can't vouch for
these. That's counterinstinctual.
No, it's not, because the Sephardim are actually a migratory result of the Babylonian exile, where the Talmud Bavli was supreme, whereas the Italians came directly from the land of Israel, where the Yerushalmi was supreme. So, and then they spread from Italy throughout Germany and France.
But the mode of argument in Bavli is
true.
Much more European.
But that's true, but that has to do with the way of learning, not with the long
choices.
Yeah. Okay, so say some more further. So Gemara shoots this down, actually. Gemara says, V'lo rotza locho rotza liga. I understand, anytime you're coming to eat, you're coming to touch, right? So therefore, by definition, you have to always wash. Or actually, it reads both ways. If you're touching, it's because you want to eat. If you're eating, because you want to touch. How can you draw such a distinction? So the Gemara says an interesting thing. The Gemara says that here the reason why you have to wash is because in chulin, the truth is chulin, we really don't care if it becomes tummy or not. But since the people get mixed up between chulin and truma, satsay made you wash regardless. Literally, srach means drag them up. But nina, and then we learn. That's a Meister Sheni gets dragged along. I apologize. Now I'm going to learn like the Shari Torah says, the soul changes the two words in this line of Truma to Chulin. Didn't we learn our Mishnah Chulin, the Chiesh Bechulin, Mibnishum Matilas Rach? But Chulin, how are you going to get mixed up between Truma and Chulin? Between Truma and Meister Sheni understands it's both restricted forms of food, so you get mixed up. But how are you getting mixed up between Chulin and Meister Sheni, between Chulin and Truma? So it says the Gemara, El B'chulin Shanaso Gav Taras HaKodesh. Let's say it's talking about a type of individual. There were holy types of people like this in the land of Israel who ate their Chulin, who ate their regular stuff as if it was holy, as if it had been brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, that won't work either. I should have read the whole thing as a question. El chulin shenaso al gabi taras hakodesh. Well, actually not. El chulin shenaso taras hakodesh. El chulin shenaso al taras hakodesh lo kachulin. Hey, if that doesn't help, to chulin which are made, even you made them with meticulous, precise fussiness, as the remaining tar. Right? So nevertheless, the whole concept of eating your chulin as if it's to kodesh is just a charade. It's just a fiction, right? Because it's just like chulin. So says the Gemara, so therefore, why by chulin do I have to wash? What's the safeguard? It's so different than truma. So it says one of two reasons. Depart to resolve with okrab shim medelazah, okrab elazah brabi tzad. Like Rabbi Shimon Lazar, Rabbi Tzara. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Lazar, Tani, Rabbi Shimon Lazar, Oimer, it says, Mishra Meir, Nei Rav Meir, Hayadaim tchila lechulin. We had this already before. Hands are considered to be tchila, first degree tamei vis-a-vis chulin. Ushnias the truma, the second degree tamei vis-a-vis truma. And therefore, you always have to watch even before you eat chulin. Why? Because even before you eat chulin, since you're carrying something which is first degree tamei, it can make your chulin tamei as well. Okay. That's one way of learning a Mishnah. Why the Mishnah requires washing for chulin? Oh, Krabi Lozer, Rabbi Tzadok, can learn Krabi Lozer, Rabbi Tzadok. The Tznia Tzadok learned over there. The first time on this brayso says chulin shenasa gavi kodesh chulin, which you made as if it's holy, harel chulin. It's just like chulin, and therefore the question is why should you have to wash it? And wherever Lozer, Rabbi Tzadok, Mer harei elu kitruma. Chulin shnasu taras kosher. If you made your chulin as if it's tahar, as if it's for as if it's on the level of kodesh, sarelu kachuma, then that chulin itself you have to wash for because it has status as if it's truma. With tamei shnayim, that first degree and second degree are tamei and lifso echad, and to make 1 degree to apostle, meaning that the second degree makes third degree, but third degree does not make fourth degree. Okay.
I just put punctuation where I want to put it in place.
My repair.
What?
My repair. $14.95 from Levenger plus postage.
This is also from Levenger.
$30. Levenger's a good place for cheap fountain pens. Yeah, I'm on sale.
Okay. So that's more. Kodesh Mabili. For Kodesh, you. It's really admiring it. Here, you can open up and take a look.
He's eating.
Do not covet your neighbor's friend, neighbor's property.
He's eating his
He's paid twice as much.
No, I have a different one.
I can't tell if it's.
Well, you color more?
No, I'm trying to make you feel bad.
Okay, wait for the sales. It was right. Says the Gemara, Kodesh Matbili. For Kodesh, you have to dunk your hands. Now, this is an interesting concept. We don't really have this nowadays. If you want to eat a carbon, we of course don't have carbonas nowadays, they have to dunk your hands in a mikvah. Now, again, it's rabbinic, because the rice of you got to go to the mikvah, you got to go to the mikvah, you can't just dunk your hands in. But that's such a concept. So it says more, Kohen Detzina Matbili. Anytime it says you have to dunk your hands, Barboim Son and Kayomi. So you have to dunk into a real mikvah of 40 measures of rainwater. Says the Maravati, and then we learn on Noitel Yod of Lamikdash. If somebody washes hands in order to enter the base of Mikdash Turkavis, he only needs 3 ounces or 4 ounces, like everybody, like any other time you wash. Or as Rebbe said, it depends. Kambi Adayim Tomeos, Kambi Adayim Torah. It depends if your hands were Tomei or Tor. If your hands are Tomei with a rabbinic tumor, then you have to dunk them. If they're Tor, and you're just washing before entering the base of Mikdash, because the halacha is supposed to wash into the base of Mikdash, then all you need is those several ounces of water. You don't need to go to dunk your hands in the mikvah. That's one answer. The son of Ravil said, I feel Tamer Kama Kami Adayim Torah. So you can see in both places you're talking about hands of Chartor. Or Kama Kami Adayim Tomei. So both cases you're talking about hands of Chartor. What's the difference? When do you have to dunk them? When can you just wash them? When you're coming to eat korbanos, then you have to actually dunk your hands in the mikvah. But when you're actually eating chulin, which is erzatz kodesh, meaning you're just regarding as if it's kodesh, so then all you have to do is wash your hands, you don't have to really actually have to dunk them into a mikvah. Okay? Now, there's an extra special level of tara, which they preserved for the poor aduma, for the red heifer. And the reason why that was because they did the red heifer with extra degree of kedusha, of tara, of purity, because the last step, when they actually did the sprinkling, they would take somebody who was a tful yom, who had an emission or something, and I had to go to the mikveh and had not yet come to nightfall. Because it's stoking, the Sadducees held that to be done with somebody who's completely torn. And we wanted to prove them wrong and say even somebody who's a tful yom could do it. So in order to show that it wasn't because we had a disregard for tuma, so we were inordinately careful in the rest of the process to make sure whoever did it was absolutely completely torn, right? So therefore, for a chatos, for a poor aduma, even if just your hands became tamei, and of course there's a rabbinic tuma, it's as if your whole body became tamei, and you have to go to the mikvah. Amar Chanina said, "Lo shechichu tuma." I don't know exactly what Rabbi Chanina wants, or Chananya says, "Lo shechichu tuma lechatas." It's not that they said there's a new concept of tuma called tuma vis-a-vis a red heifer. El Arma, they said, "Hamatami tuma kala." Some of you became tamei in a lighter tuma. Kimatami tuma chamur. It's as if he became tamei in a more severe tuma.
How many people would have had exposure to tuma vis-a-vis a red heifer?
A lot, because they had to gather water. And they had to actually, burn wood in order to make ashes. So there are a whole bunch of processes involved to actually get a lot. But you know, several people.
So if you were a water carrier or wood gatherer,
they would make sure you're absolutely pure.
Even though you're, that would be as close as you would get to the rim.
Right. It would be inordinate, beyond necessity, in order to prove that point. Because we have that axle grind, that the last step we make the guy is will yell. Okay. So Rabbi Yaakov Rachum Shemri Leza said, Vasaf Ishtar, it says, to a person who's Tohar should gather. Matam Lomar Tohar, why does it say he has to be Tohar? Hagatz Bukhar. Imagine this. Hafilat also my grateful comes to tell us that even if he's gathering with a fork, he doesn't touch the ashes themselves. Amra Torah, the Torah said that he has to be Tohar. He has to be a Tohar person. Says Maramanakim, what are we talking about? Imagrave Shemate Elvis, we're talking about a metal rake or whatever it is, shovel to gather the ashes. But lo pshuti klei matkos tamei. It's obviously if he's tamei, he's gonna make the vessel tamei, and that's gonna make the ashes tamei. Because metal transmits tumah. If it's a wooden shovel, so says more, it also will transmit tumor. And here the gears is a bit iffy that how to read it. Should be not low-comed machmas dover tome means, although it means it does not stand because it's tome, but that's not what it means here. What it means is that any shovel has a receptacle, and receptacles makes a wooden vessel tome, right? A shovel has something to hold stuff. That's its whole concept.
Why don't you take a wooden spoon with an extra
one? In that way, okay. So it says, Amar Ravisha Tipater, how do you gather it? You gather it, but also a benesu, you gather with a beam. Right? So the beam has no receptacle, it's a straight board. So it says, well, that's still no good. Say, look, it maybe he's going to carry it. And if he's tame and he carries it, so some with some tamei, not all, but sometimes when they carry stuff, the stuff they carry become tamei. So it says, "Maram Rabbi Yudan Avoid Rabbi Masanya." Rabbi Yudan, the father of Rabbi Masanya, said, "Tipoter b'oso v'melter ava." You gather. You're right. You have to gather poor aduma ashes with a thick beam. If you gather a thick beam, it's too heavy to pick up. So if it's too heavy to pick up, so you're not going to make the ashes tamei. Okay.
You have to push.
You have to push it right. You push with the beam at the ashes to make it one pile.
But there's still this concept that wood as well as metal transmits tumma?
It doesn't. Only if it has a receptacle in it. So it's a wooden spoon, does. But just a straight twig or a block of wood does not.
So a wooden coffee spoon needs a little bit.
Yeah, it becomes tumma.
If it becomes tummy.
Yeah, but we don't do that nowadays. They're all tummy. We don't do anything about it. Because we're meticulous on that halacha. We're not only not meticulous, we don't observe it. Because we're all tummy anyway, so what difference does it make? That's our perspective.
Sounds Catholic.
What can I do? Some things they stole
original
from us.
Sin.
Okay? Original tumma, it's not sin. It's not a sin. So it says, well, but we do believe in original sin, but not for now. Says more further. Catholics are nutty, but not that nutty. So not everything they do is wrong. Okay? Says more further. Vasat ish tohar. Sorry. Right above memo, boy, kumi rabbi ami. Above our memo, from rabbi. Ma bin odam tor lechatos lechatos. What's the difference between a person who's tar vis-a-vis part of the mother red heifer with clear rake on tar lechatos and an empty vessel, which is tar, which is intended for the purpose of a paraduma? Now this is a funny thing. The funny thing is like this. There's a gzera There was once a time when a fellow was transporting Pora Aduma ashes, and he went in a ship. When he got out of the ship, they found that somehow wedged into the ship's beams was parts of a corpse. And they made a gzera, oive, from now on now let's take Pora Aduma in ships. Because who knows, there's not going to be a corpse in the ship. The trick is, like the Kohanim traveling the airplanes. The catch is, they didn't make a gzera not to transport the vessels to be used for the Pora Aduma ritual in a boat. That's what I was asking, why did they make a gzera on the vessels? So the Bavli gives an answer, it says, Maiser Shoya Kachoya. They found that something happened vis-a-vis a guy who was carrying the ashes. They never had a problem with the transportation of vessels, so they retained the capacity to transfer vessels. But Yerushalmi doesn't accept that answer. Yerushalmi asks, what's the difference? Amar Leih, so he said, I'll tell you why, because it says by the person who's gathering that we have to have a higher degree of ensuring his tahara. Because it says, Amar Leih, Vasaf Ish Tahor, which says it should be gathered by a Tahor person. Matam Lomar Ish, why say Ish? It's a person, let's just say a Tahor. Somebody who's Tahor, we know we're talking about person, not talking about monkeys. Elite Tara Me'ule means we have to ensure extra special Tara La'ish La'asosa, the person who's doing it. In the area of the waters for the Pora Aduma and the ashes of the Pora Aduma. Rabbi Azashem, Rabbi Shimon, Lucky said, he said that the Torah said that normally, the way this is how we darshan, Safish Tohar. It should be gathered by a person's door. Normally, if you push a dead rodent, it doesn't make you tame. But here they decreed that you push a dead rodent, it makes you tame vis-a-vis paraduma. Now, of course, it's not the raisa. Certainly not the raisa, because there can't be any tumah in that case. But the rabbanan said, since it says wasafi store, from this you gather, the person gathers has to be extra special tor. So even if he pushes a dead rodent, now he doesn't touch it. He pushes it, that already makes him tame vis-a-vis the halacha paraduma. Again, because the extra special madrega we gave to this
pushes it with what?
What? Anything. A rake, anything.
Even a
2x4, yeah. Because it's not a question of transmission. That's a real, it's actually the next rest of the paragraph is going to speak about this. We should just say a few words about that. It's a concept which we rarely come across rarely in Shas, Bavli and Yerushalmi, called Tumas Hesed. Hesed means when you're mitame something or become tame from something when you push it or shove it. Even though you don't push it or shove it with something which is Makabal Tuma. Right, you push and shove a slam, which does become tame. Nonetheless, you become tame, or it becomes tame. And the classic case is the case of the Greeks in the Beis Hamikdash, when they had the vial of oil, which was sealed. Had a Greek actually pushed it or moved it, then it would have been tame. That's why some of the Rishonim say it wasn't just found a sealed jug, but it was found in a sealed cabinet, in order to preclude that problem of somebody tame, a Greek, having actually pushed it.
Does that relate to the rules in kosher related to kosher wine?
Wine? Not very remotely. Similar parameters, but not exactly the same.
If you had this heavy 2x4,
yeah,
it's too heavy to lift, but use to push the ashes,
it would still make, and you were tame, it would still make the ashes tame. Yeah, okay. That's what we're saying.
Or vice versa.
If you push a dead rodent. Only normally by rodents it's not a problem, only vis-a-vis Pora Aduma. It's only a problem usually if you push a dead person or something like that. Okay, says the Mishnah further. Hatoyv l'chulin. This is a very interesting halacha again, which is not relevant nowadays, but nonetheless it's interesting. Hatoyv l'chulin. If I go to the mikvah and I have my hilin, imuchon, imzuman, to go to the mikvah for the purpose of eating chulin. Person regularly stuff. And now he's assumed to be Torah vis-a-vis Chulin. Aser Meiser, still not allowed to eat Meiser Sheni. Kavana counts by mikvah. Similarly, our Tevel Meiser, if you still went to mikvah and tend to eat Meiser, Vuxa Meiser, you assume that you're Torah Meiser, also Truma, not allowed to eat Truma. Until you go to the mikvah for Truma. Hatayv l'chuma is something we go to make for the purpose of chuma. Vuxel l'chuma is soon to be tar for chuma. Also the kodesh is now lead to karbanos. And you know what's coming. Hatayv l'kodesh is something we go to make for karbanos. Vuxel kodesh is soon to be tar for kodesh. Also chatis is forbidden to put the, to go and do a paraduma until he has in mind the paraduma. Hatayv l'chuma is something he has in mind to go to make for the more severe thing. Hutzal lakal is permitted for the less severe thing as well, but not from from the less severe to the more severe. Tavav luchsak, if you went to the mikvah and didn't have in mind anything, not for ma'aser, not for truma, kilo tavav, it's as if you didn't go to mikvah except vis-a-vis chulin. Or it's even they push you into a mikvah vis-a-vis chulin, you become tahor. But for anything else, you don't become tahor.
You didn't have to be tahor to be.
No, that's true. That's true, but it's, I'll tell you where the difference is. A woman who's going to the mikvah, even if he's shoved in, she becomes tahor, and she's permitted to her husband, as opposed to because so that's to be chulin. She doesn't need kavana, right? Yeah, she hasn't had that need on. They pushed her over to the edge, so she becomes tahor, and she doesn't need it because that's also considered to be the status of chulin. Okay, says when we're chulin, chulin kavana. There's basically a variation on the theme of Dr. Spadel's question. Do you need kavana for chulin? Do you need mikvah? Do you need kavana? Says where the rubas of the maimer. Now it's coming to tell you a chiddush. Maimerloch to tell you ruba in Aramaic means a chiddush. People type of chulin vusag chulin, so that even you don't need it. But even if you had in mind to type for chulin, also the maya ma'ase and the ma'ase sheni with that tefila. Lochin Rabbi Lazar, I understand. There let us say kiminyan ha'chulin, like the typology or category of chulin, came minyan and chul meiser is a category of meiser, and therefore they're the same parameters. So therefore, why do I need more kavana for meiser? Says Mar, I tell you, kan lachila kan lamagul. So refers to what we said on Omid Alf. For eating, there are differences. For touching, there are no differences. For touching, whatever allows you to touch chulin allows you to touch meiser, but for eating, there is differences, and intent to go to the mikvah for the purpose of chulin doesn't make you tor vis-a-vis ma'aser sheni. Hatayvel stam. What if you had in mind going to the mikvah for whatever I want, without specifying? Mutzer v'chulin, you're allowed to use that tefillah for all of them. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says b'mezuka chulin, when he had to tayvel for all of them. It's because if he didn't have any truma on the horizon or any carbon on the horizon, you can't say I'm toiveling perhaps for truma, perhaps for a kachin. That's qualifying that. It says toivel time without thinking about whatever I have in my fridge. Now you're admiring the thermos. Oh, the tape recorder? It's just an empty shell. The shell is defective shell. I get it for cheaper.
I see a violation of the U.S. Constitution before my eyes. I'm under an oath.
I get it, discount for buying defective shells. It's not property of this government.
It's property.
All right, Rabbi Lezer says more. Odeil Rabbim, now this is a very interesting halacha, which appears in the Babli, but nowhere near, if I recall correctly, in the detail of the Yerushalmi, though I don't know Chagiga that well, so I don't remember necessarily. Odeil Rabbim Shukos Mamayim. Let's say you're coming out of the mikvah, and your feet are still in the water. And at that point, you have in mind, you forgot. You had in mind to go to the mikvah for Meiser. But now you remember you have truma at home. So you don't have to go back down. While your feet are still in the water, you can change your mind and say, I'm doing it for the purpose of truma. Okay? So, Masiga Odeh Raglam.
Otherwise, you have to go back down.
Yeah, otherwise, you have to go back down.
Alberta.
All the way. Odeh Raglam, underwater. Odeh Raglam, Mishukos, but mine. You can change your intent for whatever time you want. Tamatin, it says tomorrow, let's see. Over there we learned to Makil Shimalea Mashkim Tbay. If you have a stick which is full of beverages which are tommy, came and she shikola mikvah, once you stick one end of the stick, not necessarily the whole thing. But mikvah tahla mikvah, tara, it's all tahar di rabbi shu, all the beverages in the stick. But chorme machi apil is kula. Let me say you have to table the whole stick. Rashim and Lucky Shoy Marishim and Lucky says, my plea, where's there the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim? Betuma kala, by a lighter form of tuma. Betuma chamura, but it's a more stringent tuma. After Rabbi Yeshua Moed, Rabbi Yeshua also concedes the point that you have to dunk the whole stick in the water. Rabbi Yochamara, betuma chamura pliga. Yochanan says also in a severe tumor, all you have to do is, according to Rabbi Yeshua, is dunk half the stick in the water, a part of the stick, not the entire stick. Says more, Lichora Mastisa Pliga Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Lichora, the following price which you quote above, which we'll quote imminently again, by Shimon Lakish. Because says, so there, Raglum Shukos Bamayim, as long as his feet are still under the water, Masi Katil Chotar Shir, so he can give himself whatever status of Taro he wants. So it means that you don't have to be completely immersed in the water. Just like the stick, just like here, all you have to be is partially immersed, only even your feet, so to the stick only has to be partially immersed in the water in order for it to work, right?
So you immerse yourself, and then you get out, you get your feet in the water, and then you think of all the other reasons you might have had.
And that works. So that's a proof against her Shurish Lakish. Because you see that you can, it's still considered to be in the mikvah.
He's on his way out of the mikvah where he had already been totally.
Yeah, why should that make a difference? It's a chiluk, but why should that make a difference?
Because if you're going into the mikvah.
No, but there the water is connected in the stick. In other words, we're not interested in toiling the stick. The stick anyway is gone. We're toiling the water in the stick, and that's as connected as it's going to be, right? That should be still connected. That's what Gemara is assuming. Why is that the need total immersion? I understand what you're saying, but the Gemara doesn't draw that distinction. So it says, Gemara, Pasal law, so Reish Lakish will say, our Mishnah, with the Mishnah which says, the Brisa says you can have a tumah with even your legs to the water, is by a lighter tumah. But what's a lighter tumah? Ochel, ochlin tmeim, mishoyis, and mashkin tmeim. If you ate tamei food or drank tamei beverages, then the rice you don't become tamei, only the rabbana. So their takari shlokish says that works to change your intent even when you're halfway out of the water.
Is it any sense tamei is non-kosher?
What?
Is there any sense in which tamei in this context?
No, it has to be kosher. It's all kosher.
It's all kosher.
Yeah, it's just tamei. By tumah. By dead rodents and stuff. So it says more, I'm Rabbi Yaakov Arzadde, or Rabbi Avoh, Shem Lokesh, and bringing a proof that it's going to be light tumah, because it says, Ochel, Ochlin, Tmei, top of Yudalit, somebody eats food which is tamei, the choice of mashbi tamei, or drinks beverages which are tamei, Gufo tor, his body is tor, below kavana, without any intent. So we see that it's a lighter gift to him, because you don't need any intent. Unlike our Mishnah, that's why Reish Lakish holds. In that case, you can even be partially immersed and still change your mind, is it? And there we say, Mikeva, now here there's a difficult, Mikeva Chinosan Daito Latara Meula Mimena. Now, however, if you had in mind, I'm going to learn this way, comes out from the Leiden manuscript. However, there's a catch. If you start thinking about a kavan, in other words, you have a mind, I want this tara, that tara, then take out the word eno. Then tzarech kavan. In other words, if you don't have any intention in mind at the time you're going to mikvah after having eaten tummy foods, so it's a lighter tumos, so you're tara for everything. But once you had started thinking, said, well, I want to be tara for this. That's only for this and not for that. Again, came and shenosan daito l'tara. Once you had in mind what you want to come tara mulay manner for a higher degree of zatara. Came shenosan daito l'tara mulay manner tzarech kavana. Then for a higher degree of tara you need kavana. Okay, so I think we'll have to stop here for tonight because we're down Marvin. But we're still in the middle of this of Shita Rishim Ben Lakish now, whether we can prove it or disprove it. Ultimately, we're going to disprove it.
It's a difficult passage.
What?
It's a difficult passage.
This is a difficult passage? It gets worse until the end of the Masechta.
So what we would be able to do, as you remove yourself, as you remove yourself from the mikvah, and you're standing there, you should blank your mind.
Well, now, if none of this applies nowadays, because everything today is for chulin. But hypothetically, that would be an issue.
Hypothetically, well,
anyway, our place like tomorrow night, we have to quicken the pace. We're falling behind. Okay? No, quick. I know it's new concepts, so we're going to have to go quicker tomorrow.
I don't know.